Greetings, friends, and welcome to another broadcast of the Old School Primitive Baptist with Elder Don Martin, Sr. Stay tuned for another gospel message of God's free and sovereign grace.
From what I've heard already this morning, I probably have had about four messages. And as the brethren kept on ministering, I just kept on getting deeper and further and more confused as to what I ought to talk about as far as the scripture text goes. But if God permit, let me talk a little bit about Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah, some almost 730 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, God had raised him up to go out and to prophesy unto his people. And out of the book of Isaiah, there is great gleanings to be obtained there in what God had told him to say to Israel, and that had come to pass in time. Now, when I say it had come to pass in time, I believe that the prophets of old that God had raised up, that had prophesied, and that it has been written down, has been upon part of the inspired word of God, has come to pass and in being fulfilled. Because the Bible says in the Gospel of John that the prophets, the law and the prophets ceased with John the Baptist. He was the last of the prophets of the old. John the Baptist. And from that time on, the new covenant was determined and established, and Jesus Christ became the prophet of the new covenant, New Testament, with a new message, by a new and living way. Yea, even himself, Christ Jesus. Now the Bible says in the 42nd chapter of Isaiah, I'm going to read a number of texts. It'd take you a while to probably follow me around, but I'm going to read a few texts out of Isaiah, then I'm going to jump into John's Gospel. But Isaiah had said in verse 8 of chapter 42, I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. He says also in verse 16 of chapter 4 that I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight, and these will I do unto them and not forsake them. He goes on to say in chapter 43, in verse 3, For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. He says in verse 7 of chapter 43, Everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, and I have formed him, yea, I have made him. In verse 10, chapter 43 of Isaiah, Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. There was no God before God Almighty, and there's no God going to be after God Almighty. There's no God that has preceded God Almighty, and the God-man, Jesus Christ, deity manifested in the flesh, born of the Virgin Mary, conceived of the Holy Ghost of God, there has been no man, no God, no prophet that has come to succeed him, as the Muslims say that Muhammad has done. That is a lie That is a false gospel, another gospel which Brother Micah talked about, which those who preach that stuff should be cursed. That they, oh, there's only one God, the God Almighty, Jehovah God, was the name that Israel gave him. The Almighty, there is no other God beside him. The Bible says that the Lord, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Verse 15 of chapter 43. We find also, he's my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure. And on, we find that I am the Lord, verse 45, chapter 45 and verse 18. He says, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, and God himself that formed the earth and made it. He had established it and created it, not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. And I am the Lord, and there is none else. And we go on down here to the latter part of the 21st verse of the 45th chapter. There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior, and there's none beside me. And it says, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I can go on and talk about that God says, I am that I am. He said that in Genesis when he told Moses to go and deliver his children. Moses said, who am I going to tell them that has sent me? And he said, you tell them that I am has sent you. He is the same I am that is mentioned in Isaiah when he spoke to Isaiah by the Spirit and he told them to say that there is no God beside me, there's not been one before me, there shall not be one after me, okay? So we've got it nailed down that it's been prophesied that God is who he says he is, there's none beside him, neither has there been, and neither will there ever be another beside that God, Jehovah God Almighty. Now, move with me, if you would, to the New Testament, the Gospel of John. The Bible says in John, starting at, let me just read verse 23 of chapter 8, and Jesus said, ye are from beneath. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, the scribes, as they were critics of his works, of signs and wonders, and manifestation to Israel as being the Messiah, the King of glory. And he says that you folks are from beneath, but I am from above. Now Jesus said, I'm from above. I'm not from down here below like the rest of you folks and you mortal folks. Other than the fact I got a body likened unto yours through the Virgin Mary, that I was conceived of the Holy Ghost of God, which came from above. He said, I am from above, and ye are of this world. Everyone born of woman in this time world, man, woman, boy, or girl, is in this world and of this world. But Jesus said, I am not of this world. We have got a God and a Savior that is now being manifested to us in the person of Jesus Christ. God, the Bible says in John 1, he came and he was clothed with flesh. The Bible says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory full of grace and truth. And the Bible says that ye are of this world, but I'm not of this world. I say therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. He says, you folks don't understand the thing I'm saying. He said to them in verse 42 of the 8th chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you bunch of critical, rebellious, stiff-necked, sarcastic, rebellious, and sinful Israelites and those of you of the seed of Abraham by nature, he says unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. Let me tell you something. If God is your father today, spiritually speaking, you will love Jesus. It just cut and dry. If God is your father, you'll love me, Jesus said. And the Bible says, you'll love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he that sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? A question. Even because ye cannot hear my word. The Bible says, Jesus said that they that be of God heareth God's word, and they that be not of God heareth not the words of God. Neither can they know it. You can't understand the things of God by the natural intellect of your understanding. The Bible says, and Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, he says, for the natural man discerneth not the things of the Spirit, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. You've got to have a spiritual mind to have spiritual understanding. And that spiritual mind comes by a work of grace, unmerited favor, by God, as he is pleased to disperse it upon those of his elect favor. You say elect favor. God's got favors? Yes, he does. It's called his church. Ain't his church everywhere and include everybody? No, it does not. His church includes a remnant out of the totality of all mankind. Out of the totality of all of mankind, God in his determined purpose has chosen a people for his name's sake. He chose Israel in the Old Testament, Old Covenant. He chose them not because they were the greatest of number of people. If you recall, the Bible says, I chose you because you were more or less the least of the amount of the people of the world as far as a nation. I chose you because I loved you. That is all that God needs to do in order to choose an individual for his divine favor to be blessed upon, is that he just merely loves them. And he loves all that he has chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world to seek and to save. And there are of every tongue, kindred, and nation in this dispensation of which we now live in. Yes, he dealt primarily with Israel in times past. But then when the Bible says his own received him not, then the gospel would begin then to be preached throughout the regions, and it went out from Jerusalem. And then came that great climatic event of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came down upon the 120 and blessed them with spiritual power and endowed upon them the ability to go out. And he said, for when the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me. He didn't say you're going to have to work and try to be a witness. I'm going to make you a witness. If God ain't made you a witness yet, for you best just hang on and pray that God would have favor to do so. Because if he don't do it, it ain't going to get done. Man can't make others be a witness. Oh, you can go to seminars and go through a bunch of different steps on how to strike up conversations and lean toward spiritual things, and then dump on them the gospel about how Jesus came to die on the cross to save all mankind, and then try to drive them into a position of where they'll make a decision to choose this so-called open and all opportunity to come to God situation, which is a lie of the devil. God nowhere has ever said in the Bible that Jesus Christ was sent into this time world and put on the cross that any and all peoples would have an opportunity to be a Christian. You find that in the Bible. I want you to take me aside and you show it to me in the Bible. You say, well, wait a minute, what about John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth. That's the key. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Are you a whosoever believer today? I don't know. You would be the only one to know that. But let me say this to you right now. I've heard some of the most glorious and sweet and wonderful testimonies of people that have had a conversion experience back in 1952 in a little meeting house up in southern Kentucky that said they've heard bells and everything else, and oh boy, the Lord just changed their life and everything else. But then years on down the line, they were out and they were one of the biggest drunkards of the community and never darkened the door of a church again. Let me tell you something, folks. That which God begins in his people, he shall finish it and bring it to completion. Yes. He that endureth to the end, Brother Michael, shall be saved. Okay. And if you don't endure to the end, you ain't going to be saved. You say, how do you endure to the end? By trusting in him that is the performer of all things needed for us to make it to the end. All right? The Bible says that blessed is Jesus Christ, who has begun a good work in you, and shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to perform it. If you're trusting in your own self, in your deeds, in the best you can do, and trying to keep the commandments, give it up. Give it up. The Bible says, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. By your deeds and trying to keep the commandments of old that have come and that have been abolished by the cross and by the blood and by the body of Jesus Christ on that cross of Calvary. He abolished and took away the articles and the ordinances of the law and the commandments that was nailed up there upon his body. He took the law on his body. He took our sin on his body, our transgressions on his body, and took them from us as far as the east is from the west. Oh, Jesus said, you don't understand what I'm telling you. Oh, then we took a look over here now as I tarry along here. I'm tarrying too long is what it is. On the 8th chapter in the latter part of John's Gospel, this is probably one of the most strongest verses or section of verses in regarding the deity of Jesus Christ found in John's writings. In the 56th verse of the 8th chapter, listen to this. Your father, talking to the Jews, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Your father, by seed, by nature, by flesh and blood, you Israelites of the 12 tribes, you, it says, your father Abraham desired to see my day. And he saw it. He saw it by revelation as God revealed it to him in a supernatural way. Because you know how I know that? Because Jesus said so. That's all I need to know about, Brother Michael. And it says, and he saw it and was glad. He was glad because he saw the salvation of God in his day. He prophesied about him, as I read to you, out of the 42nd, 43rd, 46th chapters, about, I am the Lord thy God. Beside me there is none else. There is no God before me. There be no God after me. I am the great I am. I am from the beginning to the end. I'm the first and the last. The Bible says, he saw my day and was glad. Now listen, verse 57. Then said the Jews unto Jesus, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? You mean to tell me, you, Jesus, you being a man, you ain't even 50. He was only, what, 32, 33 maybe? You ain't even 50, and you say, you seen Abraham? Abraham was 730 years before. Well, no, Abraham was more than that. Abraham was how many years? 1,000? Some odd years before? Back in the Genesis? I was thinking about Isaiah. Abraham was way prior to Isaiah. He said, and you say that you have seen Abraham? Listen to what Jesus said in verse 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily. In other words, when he said verily, verily, as he did a number of times, he meant to listen up. Listen to me. Truly, truly, he says, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, before he was born over there in Chaldea, and before he was the father of the Arab bunch over there, as well as the Jew. You know, he is the father of the Arabs, and he is the father of the Jews. They got a common father. That's their problem. They're half-brothers, and that's why they'll never get along. And we've been down that road. I told you all about that, about Hagar and Sarah and all that business, about Ishmael and Isaac and Jacob and so forth. There'll never be peace over there in that land. We might as well just pack up lock, stock, and barrel and get ourselves back home. And we need to do it ASAP. I ain't going to be politicking towards you. I'm just trying to tell you what I think the Bible teaches. We need to be minding our own business and get back here. The Bible says that he says, before Abraham was, I am. Oh, did this stir up a hornet's nest? How could this man that is 50, under 50 years old, 32, 33 years old, Jesus Christ, say that he was before Abraham? And the Bible says, then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. You know what? A number of times we read in the Gospels where Jesus was taken and was pursued by those who wanted to kill him. But none of them could do it because he would just ease himself out of the way because he was God. He was able to just move himself through the crowd unbeknown to those around about him and just escaped out of the way. He did it right here. It says that they picked up stones to cast upon himself, and it says he went out of the temple going through the midst of them. He just went through the midst of them. Not one of them threw a stone at him. But Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And if you study the scriptures and look up the I ams, you'll find that when God said that he told Moses to tell the children of Israel that I am that sent you, let me tell you, Jesus Christ was there. Jesus Christ was not yet incarnate in a physical mortal frame, but he was there in spirit because they're inseparable. All right, now, let's go over to the chapter 14 of John's Gospel. Chapter 14. And we find that the Jesus writes, and he says this here, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Listen, if ye believe in God, if ye believe in this one that says that I am the only God, I am the Lord, there is none beside me. There was none beside me before. There won't be one after. I am the Lord God and the only Savior. Do you remember us reading that now out of Isaiah? Jesus said, if you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you into myself. And there I, where I am, there where I am, that could be taken in two ways. Not only is he going to be there presently, but he is the I am that's going to be there presently. God, okay? There ye may be also. Verse 4, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Listen to what Thomas had to say. Here's old doubting Thomas. Oh, he was always one that did not understand and really get a grasp on things. Here he is again. Thomas says, he said to this, he said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? In other words, Thomas said, Lord, we don't understand this. Or at least I don't understand this, Thomas was saying. He says, you know, I don't know whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And look what Jesus said. This is probably one of the most popular verses in John's Gospel. Jesus said unto Thomas, I am, all right, there's that I am, the way. I am the way. I am God Almighty. I am God Jehovah. I am He that has been from the beginning. I am He that is everlasting. I am God Almighty. He says, I am the way. That is the way to God through Jesus Christ, the Lord. There is no other way. Listen, Jesus said, for I am the way. You want to know how to get from here to Wyoming? Downtown Wyoming, then you ask somebody, if you don't know, where's the way? And they'll tell you, well, you go right out here and you make a right-hand turn and you go about so many miles down there and you come into a place that has a sign that says Wyoming, and you're there. And when they was asked of Jesus, how are we going to know the way? Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say it's me plus others that will come after me in the Hindu religion or those in Islam, those that follow other religions that have come about in the world. But he said, I am the way. And he says, and the truth. I'm the truth. Everything that teaches that there's a way to God apart from Jesus Christ is a lie. There is not two truths regarding how to get to God and know God. There is only one truth. And that is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, and I am the life. There is no life outside of Jesus Christ. We're dead in trespasses and sins. We're born that way. From my mother's womb, did the psalmist write and say, had my mother begotten me into this time world. And I am full of iniquity from the time I've been born. And my sins have overwhelmed me and overcome me. And oh, how shall I be delivered from these things? And David goes on to write, he said, but the Lord is my deliverer. The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my buckler, which means a fence. The Lord is my high tower, a place where I can get up above the rest of the folks and be in a safe haven. The Lord is all and all to me. The Lord is the mediator. The Lord is the intercessor. The Lord, God, Jesus Christ. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Now listen to this. No man. Now I'm going to include mankind in there. And in that mankind, I'm going to include every gender, every man and woman. Every man and woman, all of mankind. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man comes to the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. Now listen to what Philip said. Philip said, he said unto Jesus, he said, show us the Father, and it will sufficeth us. If you just show us the Father, Jesus, just show him the Father. How many people have you ever talked to about the Lord? They said, oh, well, yeah, well, that Bible, you know, that's been written by men. If Jesus was to come down here and show himself to me, then I could believe it. My own personal flesh and blood brother, who I had testified to when I was first converted and brought into an understanding of salvation by God's grace in the person of Jesus Christ, I tried my best to get him to be a Christian, buddy. I just did everything and begged him. I said, just exercise your faith. Little did I know he was telling me of the truth when he said, I don't have no faith. I said, well, you just gotta exercise it. Come up with some. And little did I know how you come up with it. At that time, I was just a babe in Christ and zealous as some maniac. I run off probably more than I did any influence to. But you know what? The Bible says that Philip said, if you just show us the Father, it'll be okay. We'll be satisfied. And listen to this. And I'm going to close with this right here. The Bible says, if you'll just show us the Father, we'll be satisfied. Jesus said to him, have I been so long time with you, and yet ye had not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Jesus said to Philip, if you've seen me, which he had, because he was talking to him face to face, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because what he's saying is, I am the Father incarnate in a human body. I am a mortal man, but I am God. I am deity God. I am the God-man, Jesus Christ. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Oh, I pray that everybody in this house has seen the Father through the man, Jesus the Christ, and seen him high and lifted up upon that cross of Calvary, of which no man could put him upon unless God had ordained it to be. The Bible says that by the wicked and cruel hands of men was Jesus Christ hung upon the cruel cross of Calvary, as it was ordained of God. Let me tell you something. It was ordained of God that he be put on that cross. He had to. What if he had not have been crucified and his sins not, I mean, his blood not be shed in behalf of our sins? Where would we be? We would be the most helpless and hopeless people that ever had breath put in our lungs, living in this time world of wickedness. But God, by his infinite mercy and love wherewith he loved a church in this time realm, has chosen a people, as I said earlier, out of the fall of all of mankind, and he's called them out by his Spirit, given them a revelation of their sinfulness, of their wickedness and their transgressions, and have caused them to see Christ as the only hope and help of this situation. Now, I saw one thing in the scriptures here within the last couple of days, and I'm going to share, and I'm going to close. The main crust of the message today, as you have heard, was about the deity of Christ and him being God manifested in the flesh, and he always has been with the Father. For in the Bible, in Genesis, when the Bible said, let us make man in our image, who was he talking about? The us and our. It was a triune deity he was talking to. God didn't say, let me make man in my image. He said, let us make man in our. There was always a triune aspect to the deity of God Almighty, and Jesus Christ has always been with the Father because they're inseparable. You can't separate the Spirit of the God of heaven and earth. You cannot separate it or dissect it. You cannot take pieces of it, cut it, and make it over here. He's either here or he's not. He's either in you or he's not. It ain't a part of him in you. He's either in you by his Spirit that has bestowed it within your heart and mind and soul by a new birth experience, or he's not there. Now, I don't know which it is. Only your heart, mind, and soul can reveal that, as God has revealed it to you. But let me say this. In Genesis, in the fourth chapter, the Bible says that when Adam and Eve had transgressed and fell into disobedience, that the Bible says God had told them, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. And in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread until thou return until thou return into the ground, in other words, till you die. Or out of it, For out of it it was thou taken, for the dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also, unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord said, Behold, man has become as one of us. But the Bible says that he had taken, and he drove them out of the garden, verse 23, he sent them forth from the garden to till the earth from whence it was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of the Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life, to protect the tree. To protect the tree and to keep it from them getting to it and having access to it. He ran them out of the garden and then put cherubims to the entrance to it to keep them out of it. Okay? I want you to keep in mind, remember what I said earlier? I said, I don't care how sweet your testimony sounds about an experience in 1951 is where you're at today. Look at the book of Revelation. And this is my last verse. Revelation. We find that in the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ given to John, the Bible says, he says, as he, in verse 2, he says to the angel of the church at Ephesus, write these things. And he told him to write these things, which he had wrote. And then here, now listen, here's what he says at the end of it in verse 7. After he had told him to write these things, which was a criticism to the church at Ephesus, and a reproof to them, he says this right here, and he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Listen now, to him that overcometh will I give to do what? Eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. There's going to be a time, Brother Michael, when Christ comes back and he takes and gathers together his remnant church with the voice of an archangel and the trump of God. I think it's in this time frame area, because that's the only time I know that we could really say we're overcomers, because that would be the end of everything. See? You can't overcome until you get to the end. So they that are overcomers are going to take and eat of the tree of life, buddy. We'll have access to that tree, and all shall be able to partake of that fruit that was forbidden. Because we are the redeemed of the Lord, the remnant of God, called by divine, free, and sovereign grace, brought into the church of the firstborn, made heirs of divine grace by the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary, whose blood paid for our sins, lock, stock, and barrel, past, present, and future, and makes us able to be overcomers in that day. And we will stand there and rejoice in Christ and all that he's done for us and in us to make us overcomers, that we would partake of the tree of life and partake of the sweetness of his character and holiness, and be as he is with a resurrected body, not a mortal body, but an immortal body, likened unto his glorified body, dressed in robes of white raiment, which is the righteousness of Christ, that will adorn the saints of God forever and eternity. I had just realized that. I never realized that in the book of Revelation, when Jesus had given to the angel of the church at Ephesus that the overcomers there were going to be able to have access to take and partake of that tree of life. But they are. And now here's another thing as I close. Now I want you to think about this a minute. Every one of these churches, Thessalonica, Ephesus, Galata, the church of Philippi, the one of Colossians, you know where they're all at? I got a little map in here. I've got a little map that has them all. I don't know what I did with it. It's back in here somewhere, right here. I had a little map here. It's got here 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's the 7 churches right there, geographically, right there in what today is Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Egypt, I'm trying to think of the other ones there. But anyway, how many times have we heard on the news of lately about Damascus? About Damascus, isn't that the capital of Syria? Right now, I think it is. Damascus is just destroyed and blown up. They've got a civil war going on over there. But that's where Paul, he was headed to when Christ struck him on the road to Damascus. And there ain't a gospel church, as far as I know, of any witness at all within thousands of miles of that whole area. Where are they at? All them churches that were there, the church at Galatia, church at Ephesus, the one at Colossae, and the Thessalonica and all those others, they're not there. It's all Muslim Islam. Oh, let me tell you, where is America going to be if Christ tarries in, say, 50 years? Where's there going to be a testimony out of a church? You can't find one of any of those churches written in Revelation right now over there. Is there not going to be a church, a house founded preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ found in this country in time? Maybe not. Delete. Gone. There's nothing over there but a Muslim world that hate us and hate Judaism. And they hate anything we stand for. And that world, they're trying to make them like a democracy, a republic like we are. It ain't working. Now, we've only lost 6,500 and some odd boys over there. 20-some thousand come home maimed, lame. It's a sad situation. But I'll tell you what, we had better take, and we better take this book, and we better behold its words, and we better trust in that message that comes out of it, that Jesus Christ is the only help and hope for us in this time world. Economically, we are going down the tubes fast at breakneck speed. It's getting tougher and tougher. Just this past couple weeks, I'm living on a limited Social Security income. I'm not griping. Listen, I'm blessed to do that. I don't have any overhead to where I need any more than that. But I'm telling you what, there's a bank in my community that has been there since 1977 that's closing this branch down in June. And I'm going to have to drive 12 miles to a bank now. And it's just one thing after another. Businesses are closing up over there in the county, in Sumter County. And it's not Sumter County, it's Polk County. It's Sumter County. It's Suwanee County. It's Osceola County. It's everywhere. It's nationwide. We're in dire straits, brothers and sisters. And if our hope is not on the person of Jesus Christ, that we're going to be of all men most miserable. And we'll never make it. We're not going to endure. But let me tell you what, he that has begun a good work in you shall perform it. And then as David said, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits? What can I render to God, Mike, for all his benefits that he's provided for me up in these 68 years that he's given me to live? And whatever few years he might give me. I don't know. I can't render nothing except for just a sacrifice of praise from my lips. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of God's people, who's come to seek and save sinners. As Paul said, of whom I am chief. I feel like often I'm the chiefest of sinners. I'm the greatest of sinners. But even though I feel that way, there comes a sweet breeze of grace that says, yes, you are a sinner, but I've come to give my lifeblood that you might have your sins removed from you, never to be remembered again. Isn't that wonderful? Look into Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. That's the message. That's the gospel. That's what these brothers preached. Pray with me. Father, in the blessed and holy name of your Son Jesus, I thank you for this privilege today of being able to be gathered here in this humble meeting place. I thank you for the message that has been set forth from this pulpit. I thank you for what you have blessed the minds of the brethren to share, because I am persuaded it's the truth. For Jesus Christ is our only help and hope, and in him do we have joy unspeakable. And only in him do we have not only joy unspeakable, but we have all that is sufficient for us in time and eternity. For he and he alone is our sufficiency. So now, Lord, we ask you to dismiss us. Bless us, Lord, as we seek to fellowship together, as we eat together. Lord, may it be a sweet time, is my humble prayer, for Christ's sake. Amen. God bless you.